used to be depressed, but I got rid of my TV, amen. I'm not as depressed anymore. I don't have to watch all the filth of that world and all the... I used to watch the news. I used to like watching it. And then I didn't understand it's the same thing over and over and over again. And they got to sensationalize it for you to watch it. And then you start watching and you think, oh my goodness, this place is a mess. And you forget that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So amen. Let's pray again. We're going to go ahead and start to go to Romans. Lord, again, Lord, I just thank you for being so good to us, Lord. I just thank you for all you've done, Lord. I just ask you to be with us this morning, Lord. Help us to get something from your word, Lord. Help us to, on our own, Lord, take time to study your word and search it out, Lord, and see what you say, Lord. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Never grow old, amen. That'd be a blessing. Be a real blessing, not to need my spectacles. So this is our third week going through the book of Romans. So we've gone through the intro. I think we've finished verse 1, and we're in verse 2, amen. So let's go ahead, and I like to read the whole chapter first. We can get an idea. And really, as I said, you know, Paul, we're supposed to be of Paul. We're supposed to follow what Paul says through his epistles. We're supposed to run our church, our house, our life, our day-to-day walk. And we're supposed to, you know, use this book as an example and take a look at it. And what a lot of us do, though, we heard it this morning, is we love ourselves more than we love God. We don't care what God says about something. All we care about is how it makes us feel. Because at the end of the day, we want to feel good, and that's all we care about. And we understand that we're saved, if you are saved, and you're going to heaven, but you're not reading your Bible because there's more than salvation. When we stand before God, there's a judgment. And we're going to be judged. As a child of God, if you're saved, we're going to be judged. So Queen Elizabeth was saved. Years ago, she'd sneak out of the castle there in England, and she liked to just walk around the streets to see what was going on with the common people. And I think the guy's name was John Brown. He was like a trusted associate of hers. He'd always be a few feet off in street clothes and would just follow her to protect her. So she's walking around. She takes a side street, and she's kind of going up a country lane, and here comes a little shepherd boy with a bunch of sheep. And she just stands in the middle, and the sheep are walking by her, and she's just thinking, this is kind of cool. Well, the boy yells, get out of the way, you old hag! And she's just like, steps to the side, lets all the sheep and the boy pass. You know, 15 feet down the road, John Brown's there. He says, lad, you know who that was? He's like, no, but she was in the way. He's like, that was the queen. The boy looked back and said, she should dress like it then. And he kept on going. So as a Christian, whether it's your dress, your speech, your actions, there should be a difference in us. Unless we're, you know, incognito or being a spy or being deceitful. Amen. So I'm going to read through the book of Romans. And it's really cool because it's an awesome book. I'm just going to read through chapter 1. And I think this is my third week. So in the last 2 weeks that I know of, only two people have got offended and mad. And I wish no one got offended at God's word. Amen. But that's actually good because normally it's a lot more. So people are getting thicker skins. Amen. So let's read here. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. All right. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. For as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So, of course, we have a lot of nature worship, amen, these days. People, and some people know God, but this is the seven steps here. What happens? We'll go over that if we have time next week, but I don't know if we'll get that far. So 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change a natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. Let's flip on back over. We're going to hit verse 2. Romans 1, 2. Romans 1, 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures, amen. I had to talk to a guy last week. My wife and my mom were there and my daughter. And I started talking to him. And said he was saved, said he grew up Baptist, but he didn't like people telling him what book he had to use. He wanted to use the Bible that made him feel good. So now he goes to Calvary, Assembly of God, because, you know, I can dress the way I want, I can talk the way I want, I can live the way I want, I can do whatever I want. Sounds like to me that he's put himself above God, and he's living by his standards, not by God's. Now, I'm not going to tell you how short you got to cut your hair or how long a dress has got to be. I mean, that's between you and the Lord. But there's got to be some common sense when if you're reading the Word of God about how to live your life. This is what it's for. Bible, basic, what is it? Basic instruction before leaving earth, amen. It's got a lot of simple things in here. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way our hair is done, our shoes, our clothes, the slang we try to be cool with, usually it's of the world, not of God. Where do you get what you're getting? Are you getting it from the TV or are you getting it from this? Amen? I'm not trying to be mean. Don't get upset with me. But we're supposed to be Christian. You know, you go over to the Middle East and someone says they're with ISIS, they're going to cut your head off or shoot you. They're not going to say they're with ISIS and then sit down and ask for a glass of iced tea and, you know, joke with you. They're going to follow what they believe. We don't preach killing people or hurting people. We preach doing right, telling people to get saved. If you are saved, read your Bible, pray. If you're reading your Bible and praying, there should be some growth. Amen. So what is that growth? You got to have to read it for yourself. But here's Paul writing to the Romans. Doesn't mention Peter anywhere in here. And it says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures. So let's go back to Psalm 22. Psalm's like in the very middle of your Bible. Psalm 22. We're going to take a peek at that. We're going to hit a couple of verses here. I think I mentioned it last week that Max Licato and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen and all those guys and girls, whatever they are, they all talk about how it doesn't matter what Bible you use. Well, next time you're in the store, look at one of their books and look in the front, because they'll have 10 different Bibles that they use to quote throughout their book, because they're picking what's best for them. They don't have a final authority. They're becoming the final authority. So here, let's take a look at Psalm 22, verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. So here the prophets are promising something here in Psalms 22. And it's kind of cool as a born-again Christian. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation that they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he had done this. So we'll talk about being born again in a bit. But so back, the prophets were talking about something. There's a promise about something coming through the Holy Scriptures. So let's take a look here. Let's go back to our New Testament, Luke. Luke 24. Now we're going to jump on a bunch of verses, amen. One thing we learn in school is scripture with scripture, not scripture with your feelings. Scripture with scripture, not scripture with what the TV says. Scripture with scripture. So Luke 24, let's start on verse 25. So Luke 24, 25. Make sure I'm in the right spot here. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So things were spoken about the Lord to come. We're going to go through some more of that. One tough thing is some people think the Old Testament and New Testament are the same. Now it's the same God, the same Lord, amen, but there's divisions between Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, they didn't understand everything that was going to happen. The prophecies were there, but the disciples themselves are with Jesus, and they have no idea what's going on. They weren't looking forward to a cross. The disciples were trying to do right and trying to follow the law. They weren't looking forward to the cross. They had no idea what was going to happen. The temple's going to be rebuilt in 3 days. They had no idea the Lord was talking about himself raising from the dead. They're thinking it's of something physical that's going to happen with a building. So it's not until, you know, the end of the Gospels that we transition over to the New Testament where it's by grace. So let's see what else the prophets, let's take a look at, we'll jump back over. Let's go to Isaiah 7. Now see, the King James is, if it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. King James has all the prophecy in it, the things that come through. The other Bibles change it because they say the King James is hard to understand. The King James is written at a sixth grade level. There's probably about 100 words that we don't use that much. So if they really wanted the truth, they would just give you a King James and they'd put the definition of those 100 words. Instead, they change and twist everything. They take out full verses. So let's go to Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, some people that are slow in their head will argue that a virgin can't have a child. Well, of course they can't unless God's in it. But those same people that are slow in their head will say that two rocks kissed each other and a frog jumped out, a monkey, and then we magically appeared. They have no evidence for that. It's a theory, but they'll want to argue you, and then you're going to feel little and small and try to argue on their ground. Know your book and argue on your ground, not on theirs. And then we know what the book says. So here there's a prophecy of a virgin shall conceive. Now, let's stay in Isaiah. Let's go over to 9, verse 6. I was in 8, so 9, 6 in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We're going to jump over to Isaiah 55. So Isaiah 55, we're going to start in verse 1. Ho, everyone that ariseth, let me start over here. I'm going to say ariseth instead of thirsteth, amen. I'm getting ahead of myself. So ho, of course, you know, Santa Claus might be a ho, but he didn't start the ho-ho thing. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I'm in 55 and I'm supposed to be in 53. Amen. We're going to back up to chapter 53. We can get on a Santa Claus being the devil later. So 53, let's start in verse 1. Amen. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Here it is. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hath hid, as it were, our faces from him. He hath despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, but he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Now it's easy for us 2,000 years later, after Jesus dies and rises again, to see that this is talking about the Lord. This is some prophecy in here. They're talking about the suffering of our Savior. Now, of course, when it was written back then, They maybe didn't understand it all. It's easy for us to play Monday morning quarterback, amen, and to look back. But there was some prophecy. There is some prophecy in this book. So let's jump on back to Psalms 22. I don't like to read my Bibles on certain days because my Bible is going to read me, amen. It's my flesh. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I will cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look, and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from a lion's mouth. And we can keep on going through. They consider this the crucifixion psalm. So this is talking about something that's going to happen, and this is written, you know, 1,000 years before the Lord comes. So 3,000 years ago. So let's jump on over to 1 Peter toward the back of our Bible in the New Testament. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll start, if I can read my chicken scratch, 1:9. We're going to start in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So let's jump back to Romans, and we're going to go to Romans 16 real quick. And verse 25, Romans 16, 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, now is made manifest, and the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So here we're going through, and there were some prophets that talked that spoke about the scriptures. So I have three more verses we want to hit again here. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15. So 2 Timothy 3:15. Let me see if I'm in the right one here. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Let's back up to Acts, right before Romans. We're going to go to Acts 3. Acts 3:21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. And our last one here is 2 Peter. We're going to go all the way back to the back. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So if you can believe there's a God, you have to be able to believe that God has a book. Okay, all the Bibles, or so-called Bibles, aren't the same. Get an NIV one day, an ASV, sit them down next to a King James Bible, and take the time and do a study. And you're going to see they're not the same, amen. Now, I know in today's world, you're not supposed to judge because no one knows their Bible, and you're not supposed to say something's wrong or bad, but the simple fact is there are some things that are wrong, amen, and there are some things that are right. It's just that simple. It's either right or wrong. We make a gray area because our flesh. So the King James Bible is a simple book. It's our book. It's a Bible. If you don't know why we believe what we believe, I think Brother Jesse taught on it for a couple weeks. Joe Rakowski did it for a couple weeks. I know some other guys have probably taught on it and talked about it. But you got to understand why we believe what we believe. So the biggest thing is, first is you got to read it. Don't read a book about a book. Actually read the book first. You may not understand it. Read it again. Read it again. And you'll start to get some things. And actually come to church, and then you'll get some things as well. So let's go back to Romans 1. Romans 1. We're going to do verse 3. Romans 1, verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. So let's go over to Luke 1:35. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So a big thing in our faith, in our religion, is virgin birth. It starts with that. It's hard to believe in Christ if you don't believe he's God. If he's just a man, he's useless. He's a liar if he's just a man because he said he was God. We shouldn't worship a liar, amen. I believe he's God. He was born of a virgin. The Bible tells us that. He rose, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. He rose the third day. He beat death. He rose from the dead. So here we're talking about the Son of God, but it's neat that it says here in the middle of the verse, therefore also that holy thing. When I was in school, this was brought to our attention. Oh my goodness, calling a baby a thing? People are so brainwashed in the world. Rape and murder is okay. Getting high and drinking and doping is okay. But don't call a baby a thing or an it. You're so insensitive. So what does the Bible say about this? I just thought we'd trace this rabbit trail for a verse or two. So let's go to Genesis 3, the very, very first book in the Bible in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 3. A lot of times we get our feelings hurt. We get offended because we've got so much of the world in us, we think we're supposed to be offended. We don't have enough Bible in us to know sometimes, hey, we shouldn't get offended over that. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So let's flip over here. Let's go back to the New Testament. We're going to go to John 1:32. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 32. Amen. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. So baby Jesus is called an it and a thing. The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is called an it and itself. So now we're still in Romans 1, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So the seed of David. Let's go to Matthew, first book in the New Testament. Matthew 1. So I'm not going to read Malachi because I said Matthew. So Matthew 1. We're just going to read the first verse right now. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, of course, we know that Jesus Christ wasn't the son. But the Bible uses the word son, son-in-law, grandson, going on down. So by studying your Bible, you can learn some things and figure some things out here. Let's jump on over to the next book, Mark. Let's go to Mark 12:35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So here the common man can accept that the Lord's always been here. And he came down in flesh to die for us. The scribes like to argue it, though. So the Lord will use Bible to confound them because our hearts aren't right, amen? So let's take a look at, we're going to chase that in just a second about Jesus. Let's go to Luke 3. Luke 3. And we're hitting a couple things here, so. First, we'll go ahead and do 3:23, Luke 3:23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, Jesus was not the son of Joseph. Joseph was an adopted father. Jesus is the son of God. Mary was a virgin. Joseph never consummated the marriage until after Jesus was born with his brothers and sisters and all that. So Jesus was not technically the son of Joseph. But here it says the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Heli is actually Mary's father. We can go back. We're not going to go now, but you can make a note to go back into Matthew 1:16. to see. So the Bible uses son as son-in-law. So Jesus, if we were to follow Joseph's lineage, we could go all the way back to Solomon and David. If we follow Mary's lineage, we can go all the way back to Nathan, to David. So let's just go down to verse 31, which was a son of Mele, which was a son of Mena, which was a son of Matata. I'm going to mess all these names up. Which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So in Matthew 1:7, we know that Joseph goes back to Solomon and Mary goes back to Nathan. So the Bible uses son as son-in-law or grandson sometimes. So the Lord had a lineage to be the king through both his mother who gave birth to him and then his earthly adopted father. Now, of course, Mary isn't technically the mother of God, as my old church that I used to attend when I was younger teaches. She's not the mother of God. She was a vessel that God or the Lord chose to bring forth the Son of Man or the Son of God. Amen. So let's see here. 21. I'm not going to chase all those. It's our time. Let's go ahead to Galatians 4:4. Now, it's so funny. I talk to people at work. Well, I read the Bible. But did you really read the whole thing? Yeah, I read the whole thing. What'd you think about it? Well, it was kind of boring and outdated. They didn't really read their Bible, amen. The book is still ahead of everybody. The book talked about the earth being a circle hundreds of years before people, you know, knew it was a circle. They thought it was flat. So the book's always ahead of everybody. So Galatians, and I'm in Ephesians. See, Doc got sick and he had a reader. I need like a page turner. So Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God had sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So let's go to Acts 2. We're going to back up right before Romans. Hit Acts 2. So Acts 2, let's look at verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So here, so again, we talked about it earlier, God, about Jesus raising from the dead. That proves he was God, and it proves he beats the grave, that we have an opportunity if we get saved, amen, if we accept the gift. I know time's right now. We're going to finish with this, John 3:16. You know, anyone who's ever watched a sporting game on TV or been to one, if you really pay attention, you'll see they're always holding this sign up there in the stands. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So we're going to end with that. We'll look at that some next week. But we'll go into verse 4 about the resurrection from the dead. But God so loved. Loved is past tense. God doesn't love the world system. He doesn't love the way the world is. He loved the people of the world enough to die for them. Now, of course, God will take you where you're at if you ask him for help. But God doesn't want us to stay where we're at. He wants us to grow and get closer to him and move forward to him. Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, he rebukes somebody, tells them they need to get right. 2 Corinthians, they get right. If I don't tell my daughter, don't stick your finger in the electrical socket, how is she going to know it's wrong? If she does something wrong and I tell her, Michaela, that's wrong, I love you, I want you to try better next time, how is that bad? It's not bad. And kids take it, amen. My junior church class, little Johnny, don't pick your nose and wipe it on your neighbor's arm. Little Johnny says, okay, Brother Ken. You tell an adult, hey, the Bible says this and we need to do this. You don't even tell them to their face. You just say it from the pulpit or say it in general. And boy, they get their feelings hurt and they get offended. Don't tell me. I'll tell you. Okay, well, what does God say about it? I don't blankety blank care what God says. I'm a Christian Sunday morning from 11 to 12:15. Do you love God? I tell the kids all the time in class, we talk to God through prayer. And it's a heart thing, not a head or a mouth thing, because they can deceive us. We got to really mean it in our heart. And I tell the kids in my class all the time, this is how God talks to us. If you want something from God, you got to let him talk to you. You got to read, amen. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for being so good to me, Lord. I just thank you for the freedom, Lord, in a country like we live in, Lord, that we can talk to you whenever we want, Lord. We don't have to hide and cower in fear, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom, Lord, to open a Bible and see what your word says, Lord, so you can talk to us, Lord, and convict our hearts of our sin and help us to do better, Lord. I know, Lord, none of us will ever be perfect, Lord, but that isn't going to stop our desire to want to be holy and be closer to you, Lord, and get rid of the filth of this world, Lord. Please help us to take one more step away from the world and one more step closer to you, Lord. Help our church to grow, Lord, in grace, Lord, and just understand, Lord, without you, we have nothing, Lord. And let God be true and all men liars. I just love you and I thank you. Be with the services in Jesus' name. Amen.